In the Balance by Mark Taverner. Starring Michael Williams as George Craig and Barry Foster as Detective Chief Inspector Frank Jefferson.
Torrin Douglas on three with a piece for the world at one. Torrin Douglas on three.
Tell me, it's the bulletin, everybody.
Morning, Rosie.
Good God, George Craig.
Can't believe what you read in the newspapers, can you?
What do you mean?
I thought the BBC was on an efficiency drive, clearing out its dead wood. And I walk in and you're still here.
Yeah, well, I'm chief sub nowadays, I'll have you know.
Just as well you've got a proper journalist here to help you then. Caroline. How's my favourite editor?
Oi, behave yourself, George. I know everyone thinks you're back as crime correspondent.
I'm back. It's a matter of fact. I'm back.
Hey, everyone. George Craig's drunk on his first day back in the newsroom. Right.
Why is it that whenever I'm happy, people think I'm drunk?
Now, look, George, we may have had our differences.
Give me something to bridge, Caroline.
What's a disciplinary interview between friends? Have you missed disciplining me, Caroline?
I was going to say, I'm pleased to see you.
Of course you were. The minute you heard there was a serial killer on the loose, you said to yourself, if only George Craig was here.
Just don't think you can come back and start taking liberties.
Caroline, there's been a murder at the opening ceremony of the World Cup. This is no time for taking liberties. This is a time for first-class radio journalism, agreed?
As long as you understand you're back here on a trial basis.
Of course. I bring this murderer to trial, and on that basis, they make me editor.
That's right, isn't it?
You wanted to see me, Prime Minister?
Crispin, as my chief advisor, perhaps you'd give me some advice. What would you do to a man who wrote this? I have no doubt that the opening ceremony of the World Cup, with its attendant publicity, will provide a significant boost to your public standing. Do you recognise those words?
Well...
Your words, Crispin.
Obviously, I very much regret the embarrassment, Prime Minister.
Embarrassment? I was at Wembley Stadium opening the World Cup in front of 80,000 braying proletarians and a television audience of... Well, what would be your estimate of television audience, Crispin?
About 7 billion.
Oh, about 7 billion. Mm. And you advised me to tell this audience of 7 billion how much I loved football, didn't you?
Which you did very well, Prime Minister. Apart from saying that Tottenham Hotspur's home ground was Old Trafford and that they played in green. But apart from that, you were faultless.
I was meant to start the competition by taking a ceremonial penalty. Didn't occur to you to tell me where the penalty spot was, did it? I told them how much I loved football. It was a fanfare of trumpets, and I'm left wandering around Wembley as if I'd lost a contact lens.
But apart from that, it all went perfectly.
Well, apart from that? Good God, man, in case it slipped your mind, there was a murder in the car park. A murder! In the presence of 12 heads of government and the tightest security operation this country has ever seen.
Well,
there were 80,000 braying subhumanoid life forms from housing estates on those terraces. And did the killer choose one of them? No. The maniac had to pick one of my most loyal backbench supporters.
I know, Prime Minister, but apart from...
Christine, if you're thinking of saying apart from that, don't...
Quite a few prints, Gov, all over the inside of the car.
Yeah, but we don't know if the killer got in the car, do we? What's the latest, Frank?
Oh, hello, George.
We knew boys had to impress our editors, you know.
Well, there's been a couple of developments, but we're keeping them under wraps.
Oh, come on, Frank.
All right, but you don't broadcast it until I say. So, tell me what you make of this. That, believe it or not, is the murder weapon.
Can I touch it?
Yeah.
Frank, this is... It looks like knicker elastic.
Yeah.
Are you telling me Jim Yale MP was strangled with knicker elastic?
That's what the pathologist reckons.
Hold on. Yale was involved in some sort of scandal.
Yeah, it was about a year ago. The tabloids alleged he liked wearing women's clothing.
Yeah, of course. He was the one that stood up in the Commons and said, I would like to tell the House that I'm wearing Calais lace panties from Gossard.
And didn't even have the decency to resign, the pervert.
Don't be so intolerant, Frank. So, you were looking at a sex killing.
Except, this was left on the body.
Jimmy Yale's superstar walks like a woman and he wears a bra. Love and kisses World Cup Willie.
The serial killer's trademark.
Oh, my God, it's the press boys. Frank, I'm not here.
George, that car is evidence. You can't go in there. George!
Superintendent Jefferson.
George!
Superintendent.
What can I do for you?
You've got a story for us.
Oh, how about Goldilocks and the Three Bears? A statement will be issued in due course. I have nothing to say at this time.
Now, when we tell our editors that, they'll say, oh, and why is George Cragg with all this
There's
information?
There's no information to give you at this time. Oh, you are obstructing an investigation. I must ask you to move away.
Got Cragg's fingerprints all over it. It has now.
Oh, George. Sorry, Frank.
2 minutes to Bolton, everybody.
You have to be now, Max.
Yes.
I'm waiting for George's piece.
Listen, Caroline. The opening match of the World Cup between England and Uruguay began 0-0. Ended 0-0, and aside from a penalty missed by the England striker Danny Mole, the points of interest were nil.
Very good, Max. Okay, are we ready to go?
That's coming up, everybody.
Oh, George will go live.
BBC News at 1 o'clock. The headlines. The political world is still reeling from the murder last night of a Conservative MP at Wembley Stadium, where the Prime Minister was attending the opening ceremony of the Soccer World Cup. This report from our crime correspondent, George Cragg.
James Yale, the Conservative Member of Parliament for Cirencester and Tewkesbury, was found strangled in his car in the stadium's VIP car park at approximately 7:30 last night. Police are baffled as to how the killer evaded the tight security restrictions, but they're certain this is the latest in a series of bizarre killings. Jimmy Yale was a well-liked backbencher, ardently pro-European, and a strong supporter of the Prime Minister. George Cragg, BBC News, Wembley Stadium.
The opening match of the tournament between England and Uruguay went ahead, and with us in the studio is the BBC's special sports correspondent, Max Parker. Max, the match finished as a 0-0 draw.
Yes.
Our special sports correspondent, Max Parker.
Well, really?
The murder of James Yale reduces the government's majority to just one. Observers at Westminster say this development is likely to add fuel to the leadership ambitions of the Deputy Prime Minister, John Matthews.
Madam Speaker, has it ever occurred to the leader of the Labour Party that he is like a duvet cover without the duvet? The duvet cover is festooned in red roses. It is sexy, it is alluring, but it is precious little protection against cold reality. Madam Speaker, I ask the Labour Party this. Where's the duvet?
Very nice, John. Well, I think that's my soundbite for today.
I wish to return to the more positive aspects of Labour's European policy, but we are truly the party of Europe.
Well, at least Yale's death means one less supporter for the PM.
No, David, there's no point in being overtly disloyal.
Yale's death means we've barely got a majority at all.
Exactly the sort of time the leader of the opposition should be putting down a confidence motion, if he's got any sense.
And exactly the sort of time for a leadership challenge.
No. Loyalty is the party's secret weapon.
Yes, John, of course. And in your case, very secret indeed.
Well, keep me informed of developments. I'm in the upstairs flat. Well, even the Prime Minister's entitled to a bit of peace sometimes. Goodbye.
Oh. Good God, who's this stranger? It's only my husband.
Oh, not now, Joe. Please, I'm under enough pressure as it is. I've got a dead backbencher, a disappearing Commons majority, and I'm the laughing stock of the world. I'm in no mood for one of your tantrums.
I'm just on my way out.
Where?
The party chairman's summer fate.
Oh, look, I know it's not very exciting for you.
Not very exciting? I'm the Prime Minister's wife. What could be more exciting than that?
Oh, Joe,
well, I suppose listening to a lecture on aspects of ancient Afghan armour, I mean, that could be more exciting. Or being the deputy sub-manager of a branch of McDonald's in Peckham.
But, Joe, you'll bring on my migraine.
Or multiplying the number of O's in Orinoco by the number of A's in Ulaanbaatar and dividing by the number of Pratts in your cabinet. Now, that could be more exciting.
Joanna, please.
Oh, it's all right, I'm going. I'll leave you to your dead backbencher.
Incident room Wembley. Sir, it's the commissioner.
Oh, tell him I'm not here.
He's in the news conference, sir. Yeah, I'll get him to give you a call when he's free. Okay, sir.
Commissioner's not a happy man, George.
No, but he isn't. Now, come on, Frank. We've got to work out how the killer got into the car.
Whoever got in needed a VIP pass.
Right. Do we know if anybody spoke to Yale in the car park?
Yeah, we know. Three people did, but you're not telling me that the murderer is one of these.
Prime Minister's wife, yeah. The Deputy Prime Minister. It's funny how his name keeps popping up.
John Matthews, he's above suspicion as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on, George. You can tell he's a man of integrity. You're not telling me he's a murder suspect.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. And who's the third one? Crispin Trent, the PM's chief political advisor.
Crispin Trent, never heard of him.
Ah, Crispin.
Prime Minister.
Well?
The opposition have tabled a confidence vote.
Oh, God.
You understand what this means?
Of course I understand what it means.
Obviously, the opposition have chosen Europe in the hope of winning over some of our own supporters.
Some of John Matthews' supporters, you mean?
Even one vote could make the difference. And the murder of Jim Yale could turn out to be absolutely critical. I was only telling him last night how much we valued his support.
Oh, so you actually spoke to him, then?
Yes, I parked my car next to his, actually. Just before the match.
Kevin Connolly on 6.
All right, so we're leading on tomorrow night's confidence motion, and you'll do an update on the murders, George.
Ready and waiting, Caroline.
So what else have we got? Max?
An in-depth interview with the England manager on the failure against Uruguay and our hopes for the match against France.
Right, well, I'll certainly have a listen to that when it comes in.
I thought perhaps I'd do it live.
No, Max, sorry.
Call yourself a bloody editor.
What?
Caroline, can we have a word in private?
Well, if you don't want to draw my journalistic expertise...
The thing is, Max, at the moment I don't... need expertise. That's why I'm talking to Caroline.
George, can we have that word in my office? Now?
Whoops.
I do not expect you to come back and start making cheap jibes in front of my staff.
It was a harmless joke.
Max Parker is a harmless joke. I can tolerate one. You're supposed to be a serious journalist with a professional attitude towards his editor.
This is just like old times, isn't it?
The old times are gone, George. There's no room for them in today's BBC.
Ah, today's BBC. The fact is, I preferred yesterday's BBC.
I'm sure you did. Louis McNeice in the pub with Dominic Bean. Dylan Thomas being sick in reception. And brilliant programmes being made through spontaneous creativity.
Oh, those were the days, my friend.
Well, those days are gone, George. And the days of journalists spending 10 hours of a 12-hour shift in the pub are gone too. Clear?
Ouch.
Now, what do you want to tell me?
I've got something on the latest murder. We know three people spoke to the victim in the car park. John Matthews, Crispin Trent, and the PM's wife.
They're all suspects.
More to the point... it's what I want to say to the listeners.
So you're saying you want us to lead bulletins on BBC Radio News by saying three of the most important people in the country are suspected of being a psychopathic loony?
Oh, this is a great story and you know it.
Oh,
come on, Caroline.
All right, we'll run with it.
One of the great decisions. Well done.
Oh, I'm so glad you were... Oh.
Superintendent Jefferson.
Ah, Mr. Matthews, it's an honour to meet you, sir. I've just got a few questions.
Well, I'm sorry, Superintendent. I shall have to answer them at a later date. We're rather busy at Westminster at the moment, as you may have heard.
Yeah, it's just a few questions about Jimmy Yale's murder, that's all.
I'm sorry?
Well, it shouldn't take too long.
Superintendent, please don't make me repeat myself. As I just said, I'm busy. I haven't the time.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Matthews, but you're going to have to find the time. A member of Parliament has been murdered, and
but
I need to eliminate you from my inquiries.
Good God, you people really do speak like that.
Sir?
I saw Jimmy Yale in the car park on the night in question. I leant through the window to say hello, and I had every opportunity to throttle him.
Well,
that's the opportunity. As for motive, I loathe the bugger.
I loathed the bugger.
I'm not going too fast, am I? Yale was an upper-class layabout who wished to sell his country down the river. Now, if you'll excuse
me... Sir, murder is a very serious matter.
Of course, and I'm endeavouring to wrest the leadership of my party from that idiot in Downing Street, which is also a very serious matter. Now, if you'll let me pass...
Wait,
Thank you. Oh, but please, Superintendent, don't eliminate me from your inquiries. We must have another little chat at a later date. It's so rare to meet an intellectual equal.
John, coming.
What? Bloody cheek.
Frankly, Prime Minister, this could be the end. We're in serious danger of losing.
Never! They're not getting rid of me that easily.
Excuse me, Prime Minister. Your wife says should she organise the removal vans?
Tell my wife that reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Right.
The thing is, Prime Minister...
Where's my migraine?
The thing is, Prime Minister, everybody is vital. Just one vote could spring it. Even the murder of Jim Yale could turn out to be decisive.
Of course, and then where's Jim Yale when his country needs him?
Lying peacefully in Buckinghamshire, Prime Minister.
Well, he's no business lying peacefully in Buckinghamshire.
He is dead, Prime Minister.
Crispin, if we had disqualified our MPs on the grounds of brainstem death, there'd have been no majority Conservative government this century. You're my advisor, damn it. Advise me.
Well, the tradition on these occasions is to invite the rebels round to Downing Street.
What?
Gladhand them. Give them a few drinks. Mutter about knighthoods and peerages.
Mm. Are you seriously suggesting I allow ghastly backbenchers to clod hop through my sitting room?
Well, perhaps we could get a few celebrities round. That always impresses the troops.
The things I do for my country.
And your job, Prime Minister.
And yours, Crispin.
Yes. It's rather short notice for getting celebrities, so I wondered if we might ask your wife to help in the guest list.
My wife?
I'm sure she knows more famous people than I do. I understand her poetry is beginning to be highly thought of in the arts world.
Yes, of course. Well, in that case, you better get straight on to her.
Me?
Well, I've seen her twice already today. We don't want to put an excessive strain on our domestic bliss, now do we?
And here come the team.
I'm not in the mood, George.
George Craig and Frank Jefferson proudly leading their teams out of the famous Wembley Tunnel.
So, what have you got for me, Frank?
Oh, we found a woman's glove in the last victim's flat with the letter J on it.
Which could belong to the killer?
Yeah, it could belong to the victim, George. He went in for that sort of thing, as you well know.
Frank, are you all right?
He laughed at me, George.
Hmm?
He just stood there and took the mickey.
Who?
The so-called Deputy Prime Minister, John Matthews. You should have seen him.
I thought you said he was a man of integrity.
He talked about murder like it was some sort of intellectual pastime. As if he was daring me to catch him. Well, he's my prime suspect.
What evidence have you got?
There's a few places I've got to go. I'll see what I can turn up.
Now, hold on, Frank. You can't go anywhere.
Hey?
England are playing here tonight. And we've got to be here.
Why?
The last time the killer struck, England were playing. It might just be that he plans to mark every England match the same way.
Oh, God. Maybe you should put a tail on your friend John Matthews.
Norman, Gorman, Borman?
Six MPs in all, Prime Minister. Rebels to a man. But rebels who might just vote for you if given enough encouragement. And alcohol.
And what's this?
That's the celebrity guest list.
I've never heard of any of these people. But who's he?
He presents a late-night quiz show on cable television. It's called The Bottom of the Barrel. Members of the public do what I believe are called moonies over the side of beer barrels.
Moonies?
To see if their nearest and dearest can identify them.
And then this one?
She used to be a supermodel.
Oh, well, at least that's a bit of glamour.
And lately she's been doing walk-on parts in TV ads for Mega Whopper Burgers.
Mega Whopper?
You see, it's very short notice, Prime Minister. You can't get real celebrities at a few hours' notice.
But I thought we were supposed to be impressing rebel backbenchers. I mean, who's Ellie Grierson, the weather girl on Carlton? Oh,
by no means, Prime Minister. She's one of our most distinguished living writers.
Well, distinguished? At least that's something.
She's a radical northern intellectual feminist.
Hell's bloody bell.
And a friend of your wife's. You did say to get your wife involved.
And toxic tea?
A radical poet. And
a friend of my wife's.
Exactly. Mm. And since it's the World Cup, I thought it would be an excellent idea to invite some footballers.
Crispin? English footballers are a lower form of pond life than backbenchers.
Oh, these aren't English, Prime Minister. They're from Argentina.
Do I understand you to be saying Argentina?
Your wife was very involved in the human rights campaign there.
Oh.
And if we might just have a word about the dietary arrangements for the Germans.
Germans?
Can you record your piece for the 6 o'clock news so I know I've got it?
Don't suggest me, Caroline.
No, have one of these.
What's this?
It's a bleeper, George, so I can get in touch with you whenever I want to. Oh, one more thing. Can you give the television newsroom all the information on the murders you've got?
Hey?
Share everything with television.
Did you say television?
Yes, well, one directorate nowadays, George.
But they're on the air before us.
One directorate, George. Do as you're told.
Share everything I've got with television? Well, what kind of world is this?
The police will be talking to them. No doubt to eliminate them from inquiries.
That's fine, George.
I'll fix it for the 7 o'clock.
Ah.
Hold on, Caroline.
Just the man. The duty editor from television's on the phone. I'll go and listen to your piece.
All right. Hello?
Oh, hi, George. Sorry to steal your thunder.
No problem. Let me tell you what I've just recorded for radio.
Right.
The victim was strangled by Christmas tree lights.
Really?
And the police suspect a sex killing. Probably by a lonely, introverted maniac dressed as Father Christmas.
Brilliant.
And whose connection with Yale lies deep in his past.
Great stuff, George. You must be frustrated it will be on air before you. Sorry about that.
You will be.
So what you're saying is, if I vote for you, you'll give me a job. That's the stand.
Well, let me introduce you to the Argentine football captain.
Argentina.
This is Jerry Jacks, the Conservative MP for White Sox and...
Thurrock, Prime Minister. Good to see you.
Argies? You expect me to vote for you after inviting Argies to Downing Street?
Peace and reconciliation, Mr. Jacks.
I'll give you reconciliation. Wembley, 66, Port Stanley, 82. Different game, same result.
You're insulting my country, eh?
Oh, I'm sure no offence was intended.
Perhaps Mr. Jacks would like to meet Miss Grissom.
Splendid. Yes. Mr. Jacks, may I introduce Ellie Grierson, the distinguished northerner writer.
Oh, yeah? So what do you write?
Millais' work is an attempt to reclaim the very mechanics of language.
Crispin? Crispin, I'm going to make sure you spend the rest of your life writing press releases on local government finance.
But it's going splendidly, Prime Minister. Anyway, I think you should be getting to the House.
It's a catastrophe.
I think your wife's about to read one of her poems. Now, if you'll excuse me, the member for Basildon hasn't had quite enough to drink.
Do you seriously think this charade will encourage any one of those rebel backbenchers to vote on my side?
No, Prime Minister, but who knows? It might be hoped that they won't be in any condition to vote at all.
Ah.
Sit down, George.
Oh, go on, Caroline.
George.
I've got to get to Wembley.
George.
Something's going to happen tonight. I know it is.
I've just received a serious complaint about you from television.
From television? But I shared all my information with them.
According to them, BBC Television News were told a pack of lies by you and as a result broadcast 3 minutes of utter rubbish.
Only three. They're improving. Look, Caroline, they're television.
George!
You know what they're like.
I'm not happy.
If I ring them up and say you've got the wrong end of the stick, they'll say, great, have we got a picture of the stick?
I'm not happy, George.
Hello, Steam Radio.
George, some news for you.
Oh, Frank, thank God. What's the score?
My lads have been going through Yale's correspondence. They found a letter from John Matthews, calling him a pervert who's besmirched his queen and country and ought to be removed from British politics.
And we know Matthews spoke to him in the car park. Thanks, Frank. That's useful. I suppose our murderer hasn't paid us a visit at this England match, too, by any chance?
No, nothing so far.
Madam Speaker, as Deputy Prime Minister, I'm winding up this debate on behalf of the government. And let me make this absolutely clear. I shall be voting with the government tonight, and I urge my honourable friends to do likewise.
What the hell you do, you treacherous swine?
We may be unhappy at the direction of government policy. We may feel it has taken a wrong turning and gone down the road marked Brussels. We may wish, Madam Speaker, to apply the brakes and drive back to the road called freedom, to an area called sovereignty, to a quiet, neighbourly street called Britain.
Get on with it!
But I say this is not the time to kick the driver out of the car. We in Britain drive with the proud pickle of patriotism, lubricating the carburettors of confidence.
Sit down, you cunning, conniving, duplicitous bastard. I think my supporters liked it, Prime Minister. I think some of your supporters seem to be missing, old boy. I wonder where they can have got to.
Great result, eh, Super?
It certainly was.
England 2, France 0. That's what we want.
Stuff of football, Constable. Murderer nil, Jefferson 1. That's the only result I'm interested in.
Well, perhaps murdering that MP was World Cup with his final fling.
I want one last check of this stadium, and then home.
Where are Norman, Borman and Gorman? They're my most loyal supporters.
I don't know.
The motion is that this House has no confidence in the European policy of Her Majesty's government. As many as are of that opinion will say aye. To the contrary, no.
No.
I think the ayes have it. Great
speech, John. But where are my supporters?
Ready, Max?
When you are.
We're just doing the Harry Davis interview, then it's you.
Okay.
My lads are the fittest in this World Cup. They don't smoke, they don't drink.
Right, 30 seconds of Harry Davis to go, studio, then Max Parker live.
Cleaned up English football. Weeded out the slackers, the layabouts. That's why we're getting results.
Cue Harriet.
The England football manager, Harry Davis.
And now with his thoughts, our special sports correspondent, Max Parker.
England have won.
We're interrupting that report.
Well, really?
And we're going to the House of Commons for the result of the confidence vote.
The ayes to the right, 310. The noes to the left, 311. The ayes to the right, 310. The noes to the left, 311. The noes have it.
The government has survived the confidence motion by one vote. Six MPs thought to be the opponents of the Prime Minister were absent from the debate. Back to the studio.
Tonight's other headlines. England have beaten France 2-0 in the Soccer World Cup. Police chiefs have praised the behaviour of both sets of supporters. Meanwhile, police have been summoned to a violent disturbance at 10 Downing Street. There are no further details at present. BBC Radio News.
Well done, Prime Minister.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you.
Crispin. Congratulations, Prime Minister. Phew, survival.
Crispin, what happened at Downing Street?
Well, the drink flowed, the radical poetry flowed, but unfortunately things became a little violent.
Violent?
Norman and Borman took exception to a poem of Toxic Teas entitled Kill the Tory Bastards, and then the member for Thurrock made a most challenging suggestion about the proper role of feminist novelists in contemporary society, and then the Germans arrived.
Oh dear.
I could have sworn I told the catering staff not to serve beef sandwiches.
What?
It was when they all started throwing glasses at each other that I really felt there was no option but to lock the door. To keep journalists out, you understand?
And to keep the rebel MPs in. Crispin, you're a genius.
We won the vote and live to fight another day. That's what matters, Prime Minister.
George, I thought you'd gone ages ago.
How many times, Caroline, have my hunches led to this newsroom getting ahead of the game? Oh, I don't know. I felt sure the killer was going to strike tonight.
Well, even you can make a mistake, George. Oh, but even editors have to sleep. If I were you, I'd do the same.
What's this going through?
Oh, leave it till tomorrow, George.
Oh, dear.
What?
It's a good thing some of us around here aren't part-time workers.
What does it say?
For the attention of George Cragg. He's on his way to Wembley. He will not be moved. World Cup Willie.
World Cup Willie?
It's all right, Caroline. You go on home to bed. Some of us have got a murder to investigate.
In the Balance was written by Mark Taverner and starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Peter Woodthorpe, Jim Carter, Jeremy Clyde, Robert Bathurst, Susie Brown, Christian Rodska and Joanna Munro. And also featured Johan Meredith, Chris Pavlo, Kim Wall, Tracy Ann Oberman and Harriet Cass. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Balance was produced by Paul Schlesinger.